From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Paul Boger. This is State of Nevada. Those in the estate planning business have designated August as Make-A-Will Month, a time to remind the public to have some plan for what happens to your belongings after you die. No one wants to think about death, but our guest expert says when you're alive and well, that's the time you should consider what will happen to your car, your credit cards, and all of the rest of your stuff after you're gone. We'll get into that in just a minute, but first, a well-known Nevada case that illustrates the need for a will is that of tech mogul Tony Shea. A probate case to determine the fate of Shea's estate is currently working its way through Clark County District Court. Las Vegas Review-Journal business reporter Eli Siegel has been following that case. Nevada Public Radio managing editor Heidi Kaiser talked to him about the latest developments. Here's that conversation.
Eli, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Thanks for having me.
There are few people who haven't heard of Zappos founder and downtown project developer Tony Shea. He died in an accident in Connecticut in late 2020, and it's well known that he was extremely wealthy. I've seen various numbers for the value of his estate. What's that estimated at?
The only estimate that I've seen in court filings is around $520 million, I believe. But that, I think it's safe to say, is probably a lot lower than what it really was.
And you have followed this probate case to sort out Shea's inheritance. Until recently, it was thought that he didn't have a will. So who were presumed to be his heirs?
Well, it's kind of weird because the case went to probate. And like you said, once, you know, after he died, there was no will at all. You know, his family was representing the estate, and the family's legal team said repeatedly in court filings that he did not leave a will. So, you know, it's tough to say who exactly his heirs would be because there was no will dictating that. So he just essentially left behind this estate. And this proceeded for more than 4 years. You know, it was a very long, it has been a very long probate case, a lot of lawsuits, creditors' claims. He left behind an enormous real estate portfolio. You know, he was obviously, you know, very wealthy individual like we discussed.
So he wasn't married. He didn't have any children. Who's been handling his estate?
For the most part, it's been his father. It initially started out, it was Tony's brother, one of his brothers, and their father were the co-administrators of the estate. And then eventually, at some point, the brother stepped down from the role, and it's basically been his dad for at least a few years now.
And earlier this year, there was a bombshell in this case. What is going on here? After 4 years, a will suddenly appears?
Yeah, the only way I can describe it is it has been a very surprising and extremely bizarre turn of events in this, what had already been a very protracted legal drama. You know, like you said, this court filing out of the blue in April by attorneys here in Nevada with a copy of his will. And so that by itself was extremely surprising, given the fact that, you know, like we said, the family's legal team had said repeatedly that there was no will. Then all of a sudden there is. And it was not filed by the family, I should clarify. This was filed by other attorneys who were not involved, you know, not representing the family, not involved in the case, at least, you know, representing the family. And once you read the will, it only got weirder because it was written in a very bizarre way. I talked to multiple probate attorneys, estate planning lawyers here in Las Vegas and outside of Nevada, who all said they really hadn't ever seen anything like it. It was very confusing. It was very clunky. It just, a lot of it just didn't make any sense. They all pretty much agreed that this was not written by an attorney. One lawyer just guessed that Tony wrote it himself. It just did not have the fingerprints of a regular estate planning attorney. And then once you look into it even further, it really only gets even more bizarre because the names of the people who are in here, you know, key figures named in the will, even now, months later, at this point are really just names on a piece of paper. We can't even really figure out who they actually are. The central figure in the will is an individual named Pierre Muhammad. Now, according to the will, Tony gave Mr. Muhammad exclusive possession of this document in part to prevent anyone from destroying it. But we still don't know who exactly Pierre Muhammad was. When the will was filed in court, there was a letter attached to it explaining that this will was found in Pierre Muhammad's personal possessions, but that he had Alzheimer's disease and didn't know that Tony had died. But the letter itself just raises more questions than it even really answers because it doesn't say who Pierre Muhammad even was, what his career was, what his association with Tony was, where he lived, when he died, where he died. There's just no details. Again, it's just kind of names on a name on a paper. And then on top of all that, the individual who wrote the letter explaining the will's discovery was a person named Kashif Singh. And again, we still don't know who exactly he is. He's just a name on a piece of paper. And there are more examples of this, but we still don't know who so many of the key figures are in this purported will. It's all very bizarre.
So your reporting hasn't turned up any link between Shay and Mohammed or Shay and Singh or any of these other folks?
None. I've been trying for months, and we just have totally struck out on finding that. We still have no clue what Tony's connection was to Pir Mohammed. Now, according to court filings, Kashif Singh was Pir Mohammed's grandson. So, you know, they're based on that, it's very reasonable that he wouldn't have any connection to Tony Shay. But we still don't know what the connection was between Pir Mohammed and Tony Shay at this point.
And what does the presence of this purported will do to the case?
At the very least, it could change who is overseeing the probate case. Now, as far as like whether it would set the proceedings back in any way, I don't know. But at a minimum, it could change who is the administrator of Tony's estate, because according to the will that was filed in court, Tony did name executors for his estate. And one of them was Pir Mohammed, who is apparently dead. But the others are real life probate attorneys here in Nevada, and they've made a court appearance, and they are very real, and they're, you know, very seasoned, longtime probate attorneys. What's even more bizarre is that they have said repeatedly in court filings that they never even met Tony Shay. They weren't involved in writing the will. They weren't involved in any of Tony's estate planning work, and they have no idea that this was just as much of a surprise to them as it was to everybody else to see this will surface. So they were not involved in it in any way, shape, or form. And so now they have made motions in court to become the administrators of the estate and to remove Tony's dad. That is, you know, being contested in court right now. It has not been resolved yet. So it's still unclear what's going to happen. There are some hearings coming up, I think this month and next month, where some of these issues may or may not be decided. I'm not sure. But there are hearings coming up in the matter. So,
and certainly we will continue to follow your reporting on that. Eli Siegel is a business reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Eli, thank you so much for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And now I want to turn to Lydia Rincon. Lydia is the senior attorney for the Senior Law Project at the nonprofit Nevada Legal Services. Lydia, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Lydia, you've heard the latest developments in Zappos founder Tony Shay's probate case. This case is extraordinary in many ways, but it does illustrate, albeit on a more dramatic scale, some things that you must frequently encounter in this field of law, do you?
Yes, that is correct.
And so what does it take for someone to make a will official? I know there's going to be a lot of back and forth in the Shay case about whether or not this latest will is valid. What does it take in Nevada to make a will recognizable by a court of law?
Okay, good question. The Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 133, is the statute that governs wills in the state of Nevada. And pursuant to that statute, there are two sections. One section discusses who can make a will. It's generally a person over 18 of sound mind and capacity, or I think the law doesn't say capacity, but it says of sound mind. And the statute also discusses a formal will and a holographic will. So in Nevada, a person can handwrite a will, and that document will be recognized as a valid will. The provision does state that in order for a holographic or handwritten will be official and valid, it has to be written by the testator, the person who's writing the will. They have to write it, everything, the material provisions by hand, date and sign. That document does not have to be notarized nor witnessed. It can be, but the important part is that everything be written by the hand of the testator. The law also recognizes formal wills, and that's what I think most people see or have seen or are familiar with, the typewritten will. Everything's typewritten. If a person chooses to go that route, they do have to sign that document, and the signing of the document has to be witnessed by two adult disinterested people. Now, the law also is silent about notarizing such a document, but it's best practice to have it notarized. And what the notary is doing, they're notarizing the signature of the witnesses. So if those two, whether a person decides to do a holographic will or a formal will, as long as those provisions are met, Nevada law should recognize the will. And generally, there is no uniform code for estates or last wills and testaments. But if the document is written in this state, in one state in Nevada, according to the law, it should be recognized in another state. Now, I think part of your question was also what would make it official. Going back to if a person meets all those requirements of doing the will, challenges can come up. But that would be something to deal with at probate. But the challenges would be either the signature is not valid or lack of capacity. But to circle back, that is, those are the requirements under Nevada law, what makes a law a will official.
And obviously, Tony Hsieh, a tech mogul and developer, had hundreds of millions of dollars. Why is it important for someone who doesn't have that kind of money to have a will?
I generally tell my clients that even though you don't have millions, you still own things on this planet. And the last thing you want to do is leave your earthly possessions in your name after you've passed, because so many reasons. Things are going to be lingering. Maybe you did want to leave them to someone. And now if you know you don't have an estate plan, that person won't get the things. So I generally tell also my clients that it's not really that you need a will per se, like a last will and testament. You have to have some kind of estate plan. And an estate plan really covers, it could be a will, it could be a trust, it could be adding beneficiaries to your bank accounts, it could be adding beneficiaries to your anything with the title, your house, your cars. So
a plan what happens
yeah.
to all of your stuff when you're gone.
Exactly.
And many people may just assume that their next of kin will inherit all of their assets when they pass on. So they might think, I don't really need to do that, particularly if they don't have a lot of assets. What would you say to them?
That is not correct. So a person who dies without a will, they die what we know intestate without a testament. But the law actually, Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 134, governs those situations when a person dies without a will. So next of kin could be if a person is married and Nevada's a community property state, the spouses hold things together jointly. Yeah, in that scenario, it is possible that even if they don't have an estate plan because of the default of the law, the person leaves no children, they only have a spouse. Yes, the next of kin in that case, the spouse, will inherit. But it gets complicated when a person doesn't have a next of kin, or the next of kin would be the parent. Like they have no spouse, no children. Then what happens to the things? The law says what would happen to them. But I think, you know, the advantage of having a will would be that a person would want to change that default.
Others may think that hiring a lawyer to do a will is just too expensive, maybe too much of a bother. How much does it cost on average if you have an attorney to do that? Or what's the range?
Yeah, a lot of attorneys charge flat fees for wills. I know I've seen some being advertised for, you know, as low as $100. It could go $800, $1,200. It depends on what type of work you do. But we're a nonprofit and we don't charge for our services, so it's hard for me to identify a cost. But I think that's usually could be the range between $800 and $1,200.
And apart from visiting a program like yours at Nevada Legal Services, what's a first step that somebody could take if they want to get started on this process?
I generally tell my clients to do an inventory of everything you own, regardless of value, because part of the requirement, how testamentary capacity is really the test for under the law, is knowing the extent of your bounty. And that, in simple words, means knowing what you own. So I generally advise, first of all, sit down and do an inventory of everything you own and how you own that. Do you own a car individually as a sole owner or with someone else? So that would be the first step. Second step would be thinking, who do I want to give it to? I think those are the two basic questions that one must answer before you get started with the will.
Lydia Rincon is the senior attorney for the Senior Law Project at the nonprofit Nevada Legal Services. Lydia, thanks again for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. It was Great to be here.
This is State of Nevada.
This has been KNPR's State of Nevada. It's produced in Las Vegas by Nevada Public Radio. You can support thoughtful and engaging conversations just like these about issues that matter most to you by becoming a member at knpr.org. Also, for the latest news and updates, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at Nevada Public Radio. You can also get in touch with us by sending us an email to son@knpr.org. I'm Paul Boger. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.